Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome, friends. Hope you had a good weekend. Mine was rather mellow, to be honest with you. And how are you? So in Florida, the governor, DeSantis, has signed an order letting parents decide on masks. Here in New York State, we have a governor who wants businesses to have a vaccinated-only policy. So bars, restaurants, and the like, vaccinated only is what he wants, but he doesn't have those emergency powers anymore. And you know what? Is there anybody else out there who thinks all Andrew Cuomo has to do is ask the Democrats who control both houses in Albany, and he shall receive full and unabated powers to act as the COVID czar of New York State? So what is, you know you better than I know you, but I will get to know you better when you call. What is your COVID aggravation? What is personally driving you nuts about COVID? And one of the common things that I hear from people is that all of these illegals coming in, they wonder why the rate of COVID is increasing. And this is from reputable website here, name of which I'm trying to get, FR24 News. A senior Border Patrol union official warns officers must release COVID-positive migrants in the United States day in and day out among the ongoing border crisis, which also worries Border Patrol officers for their own health. Not everyone we meet, we test. Only those who have a certain type of symptom, and not everyone has any. Chris Cabrera, VP of the National Border Patrol Council, said on Fox News Live. Border Patrol officers in the Rio Grande Valley appreciate, I believe that should be apprehend, more than 800 migrants in 24 hours. And we are releasing people from the door day in and day out with real positive tests for COVID, and more continue to appear. Cabrera has warned that his sector of the border alone has seen 20,000 arrests of migrants at the border, 2,000 to 3,000 a day in the region alone, and that does not take into account those who escape overwhelmed Border Patrol agents. So a number of agents have been quarantined. A number of agents are sick with the coronavirus. And meanwhile, this administration, as I told you it would, is sending coronavirus positive illegal immigrants all over the United States and then wondering why we're running into problems. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Maybe it makes sense to you. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, wants businesses to be vaccine only. And then there's another story about which we have the opportunity to talk. And that story is the Buffalo Bills. They want a new stadium, And they want you and me to pay for it, $1.1 billion. There's some talk of Austin, Texas being a possible destination for the Buffalo Bills. Perhaps the University of Texas and Jerry Jones wouldn't be terribly big on that idea. But I want to go back to Channel 7, Eyewitness News. I want to go back 32 years ago. 32 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, this was a report by Bob Kaczynski on Channel 7's, sorry, I'm pausing for time, on Channel 7's Eyewitness News. And it's funny how history repeats itself. Okay, from Channel 7, here is Bob Kaczynski 32 years ago.
Not the best. As far as the area, the weather. So the Bills won't play here. Where they'll play, I don't know. 9 years is a long ways off, but I've seen a lot of communities way too long. Mm-hmm. And I took a radio show the other night, and you know, half of the calls were just what you're saying. What about the Bills? Will you make a commitment? I think I made a pretty good commitment.
Right. But you're saying in 9 years, you want a new stadium in this community if this team's going to stay.
We won't play here, in this stadium. That's right.
This afternoon at Camp in Fredonia, team general manager Bill Polian emphasized Wilson's statement should not be interpreted as meaning the club is moving.
Ralph Wilson said, Dave Olson said, I said that we're going to honor the lease in its entirety. As long as the county keeps their part of the bargain, we'll keep ours.
County Executive Dennis Gorski is en route to Israel, but Acting County Exec David Smith says the county will be willing to sit down and talk when the time is right.
These are subjects to be negotiated at an appropriate time in the future, that if we talked about some kind of a stadium today, with a design today, it might be outmoded since it's 9 years down the road. We'll be talking about a stadium that goes into the 21st century. And as Dennis Gorski has indicated, he is ready, willing, and able in a few years to begin that process so that it's timely and that all parties are satisfied near the termination of this agreement, which occurs in 1998.
Now, Irvin, Keith, David also told us the stadium just finished paying $10 million on another botched stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
Some 18 years ago, so it would be something before they rushed off and talked seriously about building yet another.
Now, what is Wilson doing here? Is he giving us nine years to save up our money and come up with another $150 million to build a stadium?
My guess is he's looking for renovations to Rich Stadium as it currently now stands.
Oh, he'd like some of those first nice plush suites the stadium.
And a dome, maybe
the
top.
Maybe a dome.
Okay, well, that's not a bad idea.
We'll see.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
All right, that, I don't know, a couple of people texted me and said they had a problem hearing the audio. That is the audio I had. We played it on the equipment we have, and now I don't know how many of you heard it, how many of you didn't hear it, how many of you simply heard dead air. So I'm sorry about that. It wasn't me. Please, it's not mine. Honestly, it's not mine. I don't know what happened. So I don't know, Pasquale, people say they couldn't hear it, or they only heard it broken up, or what are they saying? I don't know. I don't know how many. I don't know how many people heard it. Now I'm concerned. I hope I didn't fritter away moments of your time. Now, okay, so as far as the Buffalo Bills are concerned, where do you stand? I mean, look, we all know that this is a negotiating ploy. It's all a gambit. You go into negotiations most of the time. You go into negotiations, you ask for the moon, and you settle on somewhere in between the moon and the atmosphere. That's typically how these things go. Unless, of course, there are times where you have enough information about the person with whom you are negotiating that you don't do that. And that requires an element of trust. In that kind of a negotiation, you go in there and you say, look, we all know that we could play this game and go back and forth, but we also know that that would be a waste of time. So realistically, here's what I need, and if we can't come to terms on that, then I'll buy my car somewhere else, or you'll go to work somewhere else, or something like that, depending on the... A lot of it depends on the situation you're in. That second negotiating tactic, I would not advise if you don't know the person with whom you're negotiating very well. But this is so typical in any kind of a large-scale negotiation. I mean, there is absolutely no way that the Buffalo Bills are going to get $1.1 billion of your tax dollars to build a new stadium And then another, the remainder, the $400 million, going to refurbish the place where the hockey team, allegedly the NHL team, the Buffalo Sabres play. And no, still no word on the Jack Eichel front. And it's unfortunate because as many good feelings exist because of how the Buffalo Bills fared last season, no, they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. Obviously, they were not champions of the NFL. But for as much happiness as there was over Josh Allen and all of the guys on the team, there was also equal disappointment and continues to be equal disappointment over the absolute joke that the Buffalo Sabres have become. And I'll be the first to admit I'm a bit of a fair weather fan, but I don't think that that's actually an entirely accurate description. Sports is like anything else. Sports is entertainment. And if you are not being entertained, you are going to turn off. You're going to find something that is entertaining to you. Just like it's no different than a movie. If you start watching a movie, you don't like it, you turn it off. And when you get into a series that is good, like The Sopranos, let's say, it becomes must-see TV. So the Sabres are competing against more entertainment programming than has ever been offered before in history. So if you're not entertaining, people aren't going to watch you. People are going to watch another team if they're into hockey, where people are going to spend their time watching something else. It's just human nature. So fair weather fan, yeah, to a degree, but also an entertainment consumer. All right. And does anybody find it a little bit weird that no mention was made of a location in downtown Buffalo? Would you rather see a stadium in downtown Buffalo or in Orchard Park? And if you believe it should be in downtown Buffalo, explain as best you can how the logistics are going to work. I don't know that the city has the infrastructure to accommodate football games in downtown Buffalo, because you could easily be looking at $1 billion more just to upgrade infrastructure and make sure that the city was capable of handling the traffic and the people generated by the massive crowds at our NFL games. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Brian in Tonawanda. Brian, you are on. Hello. You're calling in about the stadium. You're calling in about COVID. What's on your mind?
Hi, good afternoon, sir. I was actually calling in regards to COVID and wondering what your thoughts were. Now, myself, I have actually traveled around the country to a bunch of UFC events, and I've noticed that there's a huge difference between red states and blue states in regards to the fear factor, if you will. I've been saying throughout this, I think fear is the real virus that's out there. I was just wondering what your thoughts were, because in my opinion, if I was ever addicted to anything the way liberals are addicted to feelings and being afraid, I would check myself into rehab.
Well, look, it's important. If you want people to give up their rights, if you want people to make irrational decisions regarding their personal safety, what you have to do is you have to create a climate of fear in order for people to do that. And they have successfully done that in many of the blue states, perhaps because of the pre-existing political orientation. Maybe people in the blue states are more likely to be susceptible to fear. But to get people to give up freedom, you must induce fear in them. The Patriot Act would be an early example of this. And what's happening right now with COVID is another example. Let me just give you a statistic here. 164 million vaccinated Americans, 0.077% have tested positive for breakthrough infections, and just 0.001 have died of vaccinated Americans. So when I hear reports out of Massachusetts of, oh, doctors are concerned about breakthrough infections, why would we be concerned about infections of vaccinated people that have a 0.001 death rate? And by the way, I don't know what the demographics are of that death rate. My suspicion is strong that it would be the feeble elderly, even if vaccinated, most likely to die of a breakthrough infection.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I thank you. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I know I have to say that once a week for Bowerly Bingo, but it is truth. But you know, like anybody, I'm capable of reading. So when I hear about the vaccinated Americans who have died of breakthrough infections, the one thing that I'm not seeing a lot of is the demographic data on those deaths, who is dying. And if the past is any indication of what's happening right now, those most likely to die of breakthrough infections would be older with a lot of comorbidities. I'm not hearing about, and I also base this, if there were breakthrough infections that were massively killing 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds, don't you think that that would be the lead story? It wouldn't just be about death. It would be about the death of young, fit people with breakthrough COVID vaccines infections. We're not hearing about that. So since we're not hearing about that, I think we can safely deduce that if 0.001 people are dying of breakthrough COVID infections, chances are it's people who have other stuff going on as well as the COVID, the comorbidities. I mean, that would be common sense. But what do you want government to do with COVID restrictions? We'll talk with Mickey Kearns in a little bit. I don't know what he means by fair and equitable mask requirements for Erie County. Governor Cuomo, he wants businesses to be open to vaccinated people only. And what kind of trouble a business could get into by demanding vaccination status is something I don't know. But we've talked with lawyers in the past about this, and they don't seem terribly thrilled with it. Also, the Buffalo Bills. Do you care if they were to leave Western New York? How many of you would say good riddance? How many of you would be learning how to tie a hangman's knot?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, yeah. Good choice. All right. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. If you're just joining us, continuing what we talked about Friday, what is driving you crazy about COVID? I mean, I know, look, I understand many of you are sick of talking about it, but you're sick of talking about it for different reasons. And sometimes the reasons involve things that don't make any sense that we keep on being told over and over and over again. And the other thing is the Pegulas have come out with their initial opening gambit in the new stadium thing, which is $100 billion. Now, $1.1 billion for a new stadium. No mention made of downtown Buffalo. They want Orchard Park. And in many ways, nationally, the Bills are synonymous with Orchard Park. And vice versa. Some people wanted to see the stadium in Buffalo, but apparently that isn't even under consideration. That isn't even something that's a possibility. And if they build a stadium, should it have a roof? Should it have a roof? I'm just curious. Should it have a roof? All right, let's go back to the calls on WBEN. Next up, we have, Ryan in Buffalo. Ryan, you are on. Hello.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
It's a great day. It's a Monday. Beautiful.
What's that?
I said it's a great day. It's a Monday. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. You got that right. Absolutely. Hey, on the Bills real quick, it's all a negotiation. They're not going to be going anywhere. I think it's best it's down in Orchard Park. any of your listeners have ever been to Foxborough, I think it's very similar to what can be done here. You put a hotel there, you put some nice restaurants and a couple little outlet shops, and it can become a weekend destination. Keep the same character of the stadium. So I think that works well.
Does it bother you at all, though, Ryan, that over $100 million of our money has been poured into a stadium that they're just going to knock down? I mean, yeah. Think about your own house. Hey, let's put $130,000 into the house. Let's knock it down.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they had to do it because I think structurally it wasn't going to be able to work. There was a better chance of them moving just, you know, 4 or 5 years ago before Pagula because of the stadium, how it sat. It wasn't going to pass engineering, you know, so... anyway.
I'd like to see the breakdown of exactly the purposes for which that money was used. How much of it was, in fact, structural engineering necessary, and how much was for bells and whistles?
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's a great point. And I think you're right. If it was for all the bells and whistles, then the argument I just made doesn't hold.
No, but if it was for structural stuff, your argument is perfectly valid.
Yeah, I've heard.
I mean, we saw what happened to the condo in Florida. Nobody wants that at a stadium with 70,000 people in it.
That's true. I've heard from some folks in the know that in the next 2 years, the upper deck on that stadium would not pass structural engineering protocol. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. But on COVID, this is interesting. I was down in Hilton Head for the last week, and you know, you hear all these things on TV and everything. Oh, the South, they don't care. This, that, and the other thing. I have never seen so many masked people in my life. And I'm talking about people that work in the retail shops, not just the tourists and things of that sort, but the number of people outside walking around in 100-degree heat with nobody around them with masks on was astonishing to me. I ended up texting a friend of mine who lives down that way, and I said, this place is insane. I said, I've never seen so many people with masks on. He goes, yeah, it's already amping back up again. But here's the interesting thing. Going back to Cuomo's notion around making sure everybody's vaccinated, it's good for your business. I walked into a Vineyard Vines outlet store in these big outlets down at Hilton Head. And I walked in on, I think it was on Friday, Thursday or Friday. And they said, sir, you must wear a mask. Now, there were about five people in the store that walked in ahead of me. Five people in front of me said, I'm not wearing a mask. The manager said, well, then you're going to have to leave. They said, you don't have to tell me twice. And they walked out. Well, I was in there for about 30 minutes or so looking around. And I heard the manager say to one of the employees, are you keeping count of how many people have turned around and walked away? And she said, yeah, I'm up to 13. She goes, please make sure you keep track of that. We need to report it to corporate. You had 13 people walk in and turn right back and walk right back out. My point is this. I think this second wave of hysteria, people are going to start to vote with their feet. They're just going to say, the hell with this. I'm not doing it, vaccinated or not. So I think Cuomo's notion around get vaccinated, have a vaccinated only thing, I just think people are done. They're just done with it. And
I don't disagree with you. I really don't. The only problem is, I keep on trying to point out, is especially bars, restaurants, places of public entertainment, the state has their finger in the licensing or regulation of those businesses, if not the state, the county. So they've got the power of authority behind them.
That's very true. That's very true. Here's the thing I would say, though. I was down in South Carolina, all right? My Excelsior pass, of which I never even registered for it, even though I'm vaccinated, would be of no use down in South Carolina. And there are a lot of states that don't even have the ability outside of the paper document to prove vaccination. So I'm not even sure how it gets enforced, just like we did with this whole mask thing. If you're unvaccinated, wear a mask. There's no enforcement mechanism. You're right to say that the state and counties can do other things. They can withhold liquor licenses and the like. There's no question about that. But I just think practically speaking, I'm not sure how enforceable or how realistic it is for these solutions, quote-unquote solutions, that are coming up with.
Well, you know, you just mentioned the Excelsior Pass. I'd love to hear from people who have been asked to whip out their Excelsior Pass, because I've got one on my cell phone. I've never used it.
I never even registered for it, but you're right. I've never even been asked for it. And so I wouldn't even know what to show them. I have a picture of my vaccination card. But, you know, but here's the one last thing I'd say, and then I'll obviously let other folks weigh in on this. You asked about what drives me nuts. I'm not a doctor either, and I deal with some folks who are doctors, and they'll tell you they're doctors. Here's the thing. you don't need to be a doctor at this point in time in this pandemic. We're 17 months into this. We've seen all the flip-flopping. We've all read the same information. This is a quote-unquote novel coronavirus. So nobody has ownership of all the facts around this. We can all ingest our own facts as we read them and make determinations. But here's the thing. What was it first? It was hospitalization. Then it was death. Now all of a sudden it's transmission. When did we become concerned about a virus that transmits from person to person but doesn't kill people at a rate any more than diabetes or Alzheimer's does on a daily basis? Heart disease kills six times as many people at this point. At what point did all these goalposts get moved and nobody gives a damn anymore? Everybody's just like going along with it.
Hey, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, dude. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I still remember the blinking sign on the 290.
Exactly. So that's the part that frustrates me, Tom, is the moving goalposts, and somehow or another that every one of us, you on the radio, me and what I do for my work, line of work, but we're not doctors. But you don't need to be a doctor. Say I'm not a doctor when I'm trying to talk about mRNA technology. Fine. I know the surface level of it. I can't get any deeper than that. But when I'm looking at data and stats, you don't need a PhD to figure out what you talked about earlier, death rates, breakthrough case rates. Vaccines are not meant to protect you from getting a virus full stop. They're meant from bad outcomes. And we see that those bad outcomes aren't happening on any statistically significant level, yet most people don't care. And I'm shocked that these elected officials, in particular Cuomo, but I'll even throw polling cars into the mix, while they've held off in the last 2 weeks from doing anything dramatically for the masses, I fear that's still coming, have they not learned anything? Have they not learned anything of the – this is now their second shot at this. And it's almost as if this is the first time they've ever experienced it. They're talking about masks. I know Mickey Kearns is going to be talking about all these other things. Enough is enough. People can make their own determinations. People have access to the vaccine. If they want to get it, great. If they don't, they're the only ones at risk. Yes, they can get a breakthrough case. Yes, you can die from it. You can also die from a whole host of other things at a statistically significant higher rate than COVID. And that's the part that frustrates the hell out of me, Donald.
No, I totally understand that, and I thank you very much for the phone call. I actually was in communication with two doctors who are personal friends of mine over the weekend, and both of them were basically saying, thank you for taking a logical view of this. And these are people who just can't come out in public and talk they because they are fearful of repercussions. I mean, when I tell you there are politics, or there is politics in medicine, there absolutely is. And that's why these people have to do it on the down low. I know who they are. They know who they are if they're listening, and they tend to listen a lot. And, you know, I mean, you just do what you can do to try to get information out there and not freak anybody out. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here's Cambria, New York, and Jim is on the line. Jim, you are on. Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
It's a beautiful day. It's Monday.
Hey, I want to mention about bills in the stadium. And after you take off or quit waving the Bills flag and pandemonium and all that, you have to understand that the owner of the Bills, Pegula, is first and foremost a businessman. The only reason he owns the Bills is it's a business to make money. And you can say that about every owner in the NFL. Okay, perfect example is Golisano. He saved the Sabres. Okay, he bought the franchise. He kept a mediocre team here to keep the stadium full. When it was time for him to cash in, because he knew he could make a lot of money, what did he do? He cashed in. He's out of town. When was the last time he came up, if he was such a Sabres fan, to see a Sabres game? That's a question.
Well, and he moved to Florida.
Yeah, but if he was such a fan, he could fly up here to watch a Sabres game. Did he ever do that?
I have no idea.
Probably not. For what reason? He was in business to make money.
Well, you've hit on an absolutely outstanding point. I mean, it's obvious. It's staring us all in the face. This radio station is a business. It exists to make money. Your employer, your job, exists to make money. It doesn't exist to give you a job. It exists to make a profit.
And if you can't make a profit, what happens to your business?
It goes under.
You're out of business.
Yes, sir.
You're right. So Pegula is looking at that. Now you take, and I'll ask a question and think about this. If you were in his shoes, would you, a new stadium today by the rate that's going on, from what I can understand, is close to $2 billion is what, like Vegas and down in Texas and places like that. Now, would you invest $2 billion in Western New York on a stadium when the city itself is only 255,000 people? All of Erie County is only 900,000 people. The nasty term, Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas city limits is 1.1 million without considering all the suburbs. So you got a larger fan base down there.
Well, look, I mean, the old expression is a businessman never invests his own money. He always invests somebody else's.
And that's exactly what he wants to do. Okay? And they're going to have to cough up if they want the Bills to stay here. Obviously, it's going to be the government, local or state, is going to have to invest and put up a stadium for them to play in.
Now, the taxpayer. How much, what percentage do you think is fair and reasonable?
For what?
For putting up a new stadium. It will not be $1.1 billion. That is not going to happen.
It's going to be more than that.
You think it'll be more?
It, you know what? How much is a sheet of plywood today?
Yeah, it's a lot.
$60.
Yeah, it's what, four or five times what it was a year ago?
And you think it's going to go down?
That, you know, that's an excellent question. I'm not sure how much plywood is used in the building of a stadium, but I'm sure the price of concrete, I don't know what the price of concrete is doing. I haven't heard anybody talking about that.
$150 a yard.
Concrete?
Yeah, $150 a yard.
Compared to last year, what was it?
Used to be, well, 10 years ago, it was $35.
Hey. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, you start getting into what the cost of things. All I know is I was going to put an addition on the house, and I'm so glad I didn't, because I would have been one of those people who got a quarter of the way through and then said, stop, stop, stop. Credit is out. It's done. I can't do this. Just so you know, I will not be here on Friday. I've decided to take the day off. I believe Mr. Beamer will be sitting in these very small shoes. So you're in for a break on Friday with Mr. Beamer. It is 3:53 at News Radio 930 WBEN. When Mickey Kearns wraps up his news conference, he is going to call into the show, as I understand it. He's calling in Mark Poloncarz to come up with fair and equitable mask mandates for Erie County. And I don't know exactly what fair and equitable means, and I don't know why a guy like Mickey Kearns, I mean, would seem to be asking for mask mandates. That seems to be against the Mickey Kearns I know. Now, as far as people, I find it interesting that on Hilton Head, people were wearing a lot of masks. Could it be that, I know this is radical thinking, that when governments leave it up to people to make their own decisions, that of their own volition, they will wear masks, their effectiveness or lack thereof notwithstanding. But when you in government try to get high-handed with people and try to infringe on people's choice, the natural reaction of many Americans is to say, no, I don't think so. I'm a big boy. I've even got my driver's license. Let me live the way I want to live. And if I want to wear a mask, I will wear a mask. And I think, you know, people are getting sick of being told what to do. As a grown adult of, I'm younger than Barack Obama, but, you know, as a grown adult, somehow I've made it this far in life without the government telling me how to zip my fly. So I'm just saying. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. This is D in Buffalo. D, you are on. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. My head is swimming with all the different do's and don'ts. I personally, I am not vaccinated. I walked into two Rite Aids because I was going to get the J&J just because it's manufactured the old way. But something in my gut said, just turn around. And I turned around and I walked out. I was right on Delavan and Delaware. But my problem is it's not FDA approved. I think if it was FDA approved, I would be more likely to get it. Also, why isn't there more talk about hydrochloroquine and remdesivir? And I will tell you the truth. If they said, go ahead and get an antibody transfusion, I would be more apt to do that than get vaccinated. And the people of the Spanish flu, 1918, they wore masks for 2 years. I wear a mask. My family wears masks. We take all the protocols. We each have Lysol in our cars. I don't mind doing that, but I'm just very skeptical of the vaccine.
You're skeptical of its efficacy, or you're skeptical of its long-term possible side effects?
Long-term side effects. I don't know what's in them. And if it was FDA approved, because we have to get our kids their vaccines when they're first born. Those are proven. We know they work. So my head is spinning with all this different information.
Well, as you know, I mean, we have, I got to put you on hold, but, you know, we have no shortage of anti-vaxxers in the audience, and I'm sure no shortage of anti-vaxxers out there. You know, a long time before COVID even came up, I did shows. Maybe we'll hear from some of those people as the show goes on. I've done programs with people who didn't let their kids receive any vaccines required by New York State for school admission, and there is no religious exemption anymore for school-age children. So, you know, the idea of people being leery of vaccines is not new. My maternal grandfather did not believe in vaccines, and he was a smart dude. He was a chemist for DuPont for many, many years, lived for a while in Mexico doing some important work down there. So, anyway...
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.